All right, we good? Hey, let's give the Lord a shout. Let's praise His name. Amen. Thank you, everybody that's here. Man, we've had folk that's drove in. Well, probably to see family too, but we count you driving in for the Lord because you're here today. From Abilene, Texas, that's a drive. And I want to tell you, this sweet little couple do it on a regular basis. You bless our hearts every time you're here. And we're going to get your testimony. We're going to send it to the people across the highway that don't think they can make it. Amen. That slipped, but I want to do that. And we've got folk that's driven in from Oklahoma. Way to go. Oklahoma is more than okay for us. We give God praise. Amen. And we're glad you're with us. Boy, this is the first Sunday of the new year. We're so excited. We got a lot of things happening. And I want to thank you for being a part of us. Thank you for being here. We don't want you to miss out on what God's doing. And God's up to so much. And there's so much that He's doing, so much that He wants to do. And we just appreciate you tuning in and joining us. Thanks for your giving. I want to tell you, we got some faithful givers. And I just want to rejoice and give thanks for that. And thank you guys that on the broadcast at Give, thank you for hitting that Give Now button. It makes us say, wow, and praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, your help, and you may not think it's much, but your help helps people. And that just touches us and touches folk that you won't see this side of heaven. And I'm just so thankful for you. I'd love to give you all a personal hug. But we're practicing some social distance, aren't we? Okay. I love you. And we're in the power of praise. And yes, you're right. We were on the power of praise at the end of last year. But there's no better subject to kick off the new year than in the power of praise and thanksgiving. And it's important not only to start your day, but to finish your day in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. And let me just say this. It's important to go all through the day with praise and thanksgiving. I saw something that David referred to. He practiced giving praise 10 times a day. Is that neat? Well, he needed to. Well, we do too. And it helps you focus on the Lord. It helps you see God. Yes, sir. To see what He's doing. It helps you see His loving kindness. It helps you see others and see what God's doing in their life. I want to tell you, you get the glasses of praise and thanksgiving on, you see the loving kindness of God more than you ever have. Would you like that? Isn't that important? You think that might affect your day? Yes, absolutely. And not only your life, but it'll affect other people's lives too. And so I just want to encourage you. There's a verse, and I just shared it with the saints here. I'm going to read it to you. You don't have this bulletin, but it's Deuteronomy 31:6, the Message Bible is what I call it. Be strong and take courage. And we had somebody go to a bookstore and ask for the Message Bible. That is just cute to me. I don't care what you call it. You know, the Word needs to massage our heart. Amen. But be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated, don't give them a second thought, because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. Well, I love that. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you in 2021. I put that part in, but it counts. And I love it that He's gone ahead of us. He's not limited by calendar. He's gone ahead of us, and He's prepared the way for you in 2021. Great plans, successful plans, prosperous plans for you, protective plans for you, provision plans for you. Are you with me? Because that's your shepherd, and He loves to do that. I want to encourage you about the heartbeat of praise and thanksgiving, because it's not just mechanical. It has to do with your heart. And if your heart is not practicing the worthy manner of approach to the Lord, you can practice praise and thanksgiving and it be like a robot, and you can completely miss God and miss all the benefits. Just like it's possible to sing and completely miss God. You can sing out of And not even have the Lord on your conscience. And you can completely miss. There are people that serve God out of a sense of doing something good, doing their good deed for the day, And I want to tell you, it completely misses and it doesn't count in the kingdom of God. I know that people applaud. People will applaud. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, if you're not doing what you do because of the love of Jesus, because you love him and he's loving through you, if you don't do it tied in, soaked in, about, motivated by the love of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians, it doesn't even count. And so I am telling you, it's very, very important about where your heart is. And so one of the best ways to approach the Lord in any way, in a worthy manner, is to humble yourself before God. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, I esteem you. And when we esteem him above all else, I want to tell you, it's amazing how the clouds of the world kind of go away. And we begin to see him in his glory. And when you begin to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, listen to this. This ministers to God Almighty. This ministers to the Lord. Have you thought about that? I know we've preached on it some. You'll hear some more about it today. But this is how we bless the Lord, how we minister to the Lord. And I hope to give you some examples to make some things clear. But the priority with God is that he loves you. Let him love on you. And this praise and thanksgiving, enter in his courts with praise, come before his presence with thanksgiving and praise. I want to tell you, hey, this is love life exchange with the Lord. You love on the Lord, he loves on you. I want to tell you, that blesses the Lord a whole lot. I've been enjoying hugging on my granddaughters this week. And I want to tell you, they're just so cute. I've got so many smiling memories right now. But I want to tell you what really blesses me so much is when they first get up in the morning, they come see me. They got that little calm, sleepy state, and I'm able to just hold on to them. I want to tell you what the Lord wants to do. He's a father, and he wants to hold on to you. Boy, if you just be still enough, long enough. And what the Spirit's been whispering to me to tell the saints is don't be in a hurry. But to be before him and let him love on you. And love him back. That exchange love life will do so much in your life. That other people work years and work all their life trying to attain. If you will practice the exchange of love life, boy, this is big. If you'll practice the love life exchange with the Lord, you'll receive it. Wow. That love life. I know that we come before the Lord with needs, and that's okay. He says to do that. But I want to tell you, it's possible for you to come to the Lord. You need healing in your life. It's possible to come before the Lord and seek the healing and miss the healer. It's possible to receive the healing and miss the healer. But see, I want to tell you the most important thing is that you get to know the healer. Hey, this is what I tell people. Fall in love with the healer. And it's amazing how much healing you'll experience, whether it's broken heart, whether it's physical. You see, there's something to that. Yes, study the Word of God about healing because he is the Word and the Word reveals his heart. But I want to tell you, and soak yourself in the Word. A lot of people are not willing to do that. They just want to touch and receive and go. But I want to tell you, you fall in love. Are you listening to this? If you fall in love with a healer, you're probably going to find yourself healed. Amen. You fall in love with the provider. I know we need provision, but don't miss the provider. Amen. Fall in love with the provider, and I want to say, hey, you'll be looking around and saying, wow, look what the Lord's done. You seek ye first the king, the kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. You'll be saying, wow, I got another raise. Hey, there's people that want to minister and want a ministry. And I want to tell you, the Bible says that's not a bad thing. If you desire ministry, that's a good thing. Bible says that's a good thing. But I want to tell you, it's possible to seek a ministry and miss the minister himself. You see, it's so important to let him minister to you. And you let him minister to you. And out of the overflow, and you're going to hear this in a couple ways today, out of the overflow of Him ministering to you, hey, He loves on others through you. Do you see that? Listen, we need revelation. And one of the problems that I have with church life is that a lot of church life education is based on information. They copy the education system of the world. And no doubt we need information. But information is not the primary goal. The primary goal in church life is revelation. It's seeing Him and getting to know Him. And I want to tell you, if you'll fall in love with the Revelator, because He loves to reveal, you fall in love and have love life with the One that loves to reveal, and you're going to see a whole lot more than you ever dreamed of. It's amazing how love life opens the Word of God and the heart of God to you. Man, that's been important. We want faith. And I want to tell you, there are entire books and entire programs to try to help you build your faith and grow in faith. And I'm not throwing stones at any of those. But what I'm saying is that the Word of God in its simplicity says that faith comes from love. Faith comes from love. And I want to tell you, it's amazing how you walk in love life with the Lord. It's absolutely amazing how your confidence in Him will just escalate. And your trust in Him will just expound. Because you love Him, you trust Him, you have confidence in Him. And when He says something to you, it's easy to say yes to someone you love and trust and have confidence in. Okay, is that too much? All right, I love you so much. He's more interested in your love life with Him and you getting to know Him and growing in Him than He is about using you. Boy, that's going to shake up some things there. Let me give you a little example. There was someone, and I'm talking years ago. Don't try to figure out who I'm talking about here. Because a lot of these things are repeated. They're common. But I had someone that was connected to our church. They didn't really attend our church, maybe a couple of times a year. And they hit me up every year. I need a ministry. I need a title. Give me a title. Give me a ministry. And every year I'd smile at them and say, no, I'm not going to do that. Hit me every year. Give me a title. Give me a ministry. If I had a title, I'd have more ministry. If you gave me a ministry, I'd have a title and I'd be successful. No, that's not really the way that works. And so finally, after about a decade, I'm not kidding you, them hitting me up every year. After about a decade, I said, are you praying for God to use you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I said, let me change your prayer. Why don't you try this year? This year, ask God to make you usable. Well, it got kind of quiet. And I noticed the next year they didn't ask me that question. I thought, hey, there's been some breakthrough. No, it wasn't. They went and asked one of my staff members. Give me a title. Give me a ministry. Okay, but listen, there's something very, very powerful about the quality love life exchange with the Lord. And I tried to say this the other day. It may come out a little bit different because this is pretty fresh on the griddle, but quality love life with the Lord will produce quantity love life opportunities. Quality love life with the Lord will produce quantity love life opportunities. And it speaks to the overflow of the heart. And when there's overflow in the heart of the love of Jesus, then I just want to announce to you, it splashes on people. And sometimes you're ministering and touching people in the kingdom and you don't even realize it. It's amazing. Sometimes there's such a glow, and I'm going to refer to this in a little bit, it's such a glow of God on you. And what it is His glory. And I used to think, well, maybe it's just my cute little baby face or something. No. I want to tell you, it's a touch of the presence of the Lord on you. And it's a glow. His glory is a glow on you. As a matter of fact, Bible says, and I hope to get to this, that he crowns us with his glory. And we think of crown like here, but crown is really like here. It's like a shield of his glory, of his presence. And it draws people, attracts people, and it gives you the favor of God. I want to tell you, it's so exciting. But this is what God does. This is not something man can do. And some people view God as, they're afraid of him. They're afraid he's going to be a performance-based taskmaster because that's what they know in the world. Don't compare God to your father. You can miss on that. Thank God for godly fathers. They're an image of God in the right way, if they're in the right way. But don't compare God to your fathers if they're in the wrong way. He's the absolute opposite of that. So some people view God as this performance-based taskmaster because that's what they've known in the world. God's not like that. He's not going to use you up and throw you away. I'm going to be real open here. When I was 16 and got captured by the Lord, one of these haunting questions that crossed my mind, because it wasn't because I was good-looking. It had more to do because I was a ball player, but I dated pretty girls. And I had this haunting question. If I give the Lord the rest of my life, he's going to make me marry somebody ugly. I just want to tell you something. It just means I didn't know God very well. Right. She's called the beautiful blonde for a reason. Yeah. I'm able to point her out and show her to people and say, you see how big God is? Now do you believe in miracles? Amen. Okay. We misunderstand. He's not like that. I want to show you what he's like. Isaiah 42:3. Are you ready for some word? This is so powerful. This is speaking about the ministry of Jesus in Isaiah 42. And I'd like to just stay there, but I got to hit and go. So please catch this. He says, this is describing him, his heart for people. He says, a bruised reed he will not break. I love that. Let me say this to you. He will not quit on you. He's a God of restoration. Hey, a bruised reed he will not break. Now, back when I was a little fella, Uncle Joe, he was amazing with his hands. He was so creative. And he would tell us sometime during the summer, we bring us some of that creek cane is what we called it. It was use them for fishing poles. You know, it's canes that grow by the water, by the creeks or whatever. So, man, we'd cut down a bunch of them and bring them to Uncle Joe. Say to me, someone trying to give me a little help? Okay. See, I need help. I can hear you over the airwaves. You're giving me words. Okay. But I'd bring them to Uncle Joe, and he was able to cut sections of them off, and he'd take his little knife, and he was able to make whistles out of them. It was absolutely like little flutes. Absolutely amazing. We'd had the best time with him. Didn't sound too good, but we had a blast. But it was so amazing to me to watch him do this. But a lot of times when he was trying to make them, because they were kind of fragile, they would crack or they'd break. And you know what he'd do? He wouldn't save them. He'd just throw them away. Because there's thousands where they came from. And we had brought a bunch to him. And so if they cracked, he'd just throw it aside. What he's saying here is that if you've been broken, if you've been bruised, he will not just break you and throw you away. Let me say something to you. If you've been broken and you've been bruised in this journey, it's easy to get there. He doesn't judge you for it. He considers it like an animal falling into a ditch or a kid falling into a ditch. His heart is just to get you out. Amen. He doesn't play the blame shame game. And he will not throw you away. Listen to me. You may be bruised. You may be broken. He says you're a keeper. And he's a God of restoration. It also says, in a dimly burning wick, he will not quench. Now, back in the day, they had the little oil candles. And they would put the little wick. And it was really the woman's job, responsibility, to keep oil in the lamps. Keep the little lamp burning. Well, if they got busy or got distracted or got away visiting at the well too long, it's possible that the oil would burn out. And when it did, everybody knew it. because that wick would stink up the whole house. Little wick without oil stink up the whole house. What she would do is come in, very embarrassing, but she would take that wick, not keep it, she'd throw it away. Because there was a bunch more where that came from. Now I want to tell you, when the Lord looks at you, you may stink, because we do. But I want to tell you, according to the Lord, He will not throw you away. He says you're a keeper. And He'll take you. He's the God of restoration. And He will restore you. He will renew you. He will refresh you. He will fill your oil with your lamp with oil. And let me tell you something. He will cause you to shine again. The glory of His name. Do you see that? That's His heart. That's the way He is. That's what He says about you. You're not just a number that somebody throws away. No, you're personal to Him. It's personal. And He says that He'll bring forth justice and truth. Now, that's one of them sayings that it's easy to say amen to and then say, what did I say amen to? But when it says He'll bring forth justice and truth, it says this, He will cause you to be victorious. Even though you've been a broken or a bruised reed or a wick that's burned and stunk the place up, He says He will cause you to be victorious. He's the God of restoration. He will cause us to win in the end. He's caused you to become an overcomer, a more than conqueror. He will always lead you into triumph. Amen. Man, can I have a good amen, church?
Amen.
You're personal to Him. Practice enjoying the Lord this week. We've been encouraging our people and people over the airway to have the blessings journal, where you just take a sheet of paper and you begin to write out all the things that you see God has done and doing, what He says, what He is, and you practice praising Him and thanking Him and finding someone to share it with, even if it's the dog. It does your heart a heaven of a lot of good to hear you voice thanksgiving and praise. And it brings glory to the Lord, and it causes an adjustment in you. It gives you a pair of glasses to see God better. Wow. The Blessings Journal. It's a tool. I'm going to refer to it later, but it's a book of remembrance to love on the Lord and to minister to Him. Let's look at some more Bible. You ready? Luke 17. Boy, we love the Word, don't we? Luke 17 and verse 12 says, and He, this speaking of Jesus, He was going into one village, and He was met by 10 lepers. They were required to stay a distance away. They were practicing social distancing. I don't have to explain that, do I? And they raised up their voices and called, Jesus, Master, take pity and have mercy on us. Verse 14, and when He saw them, He said to them, He spoke the word of healing. I want to tell you, He releases words of healing. Have you received your word of healing? Because He has one for you. He said to them, go at once and show yourselves to the priest. And they went and they were cured and made clean. Now, listen, let's capture this. On their way to see the priest, they were cured and made clean. And so I'm telling you, when He said it, they probably didn't see any difference the way I see it. They didn't see any difference. But as they practiced His word. Oh, that's something. As they obeyed His word. As they submitted to His word. As they put His word into practice, they received a healing as they journeyed. And they looked down, there was no more redness, no more scaling, no more disease. Now, boy, that disease has a way of eating up the outside digits, outside edges of your body and works inward. And so they could see, yeah, this is where it ate up my fingers, but there's no more disease. This is where it ate up my ear, but they say my ears looking healed. And my nose, they ate up part of my nose, but my nose is healed. And so as they journeyed, I want to tell you, that ought to speak. Amen. I think I shared before, it's worth saying again. Back in the summer, I tweaked my knee while I was mowing. And I usually have only one window of time to mow. And so I go inside, and I'm crying out to the Lord. Lord, I need my knee healed. I've tweaked my knee. I need my knee healed. This is the only time slot I got, Lord. I need my knee healed. Nothing happened. And so I asked the Lord, do you ever ask the Lord questions? It's good to ask him. You don't always get an immediate answer, but it's good to ask. It's good to meditate on these things. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he whispered to me, and I've told this before, you know it. He whispered to me, what would you do if you had no pain? I'd say, I'd get my sweet self back out there and mow. He said, let's go. And I want to tell you, when I stood up, there was a lot of pain. As I walked out to grab the mower, there was pain. But I want to announce to you, as I was mowing, I became less and less aware of the pain. Does that surprise anybody? Hey, how many of you know that sometimes healing is progressive? We hear that a lot as we practice communion, don't we? That healing is progressive sometimes. Now, I want to tell you, it's not our job to determine the when. It's not our job to make the healing take place. That's the Lord's job. Our job is to believe. Our job is to practice receiving. It's his job to manifest. Does that help anybody? Well, I want to tell you how exciting it was, because by the time I finished mowing, there was no pain. Then one of them, verse 15, one of them, one out of the 10, upon seeing that he was cured, turned back, recognized, he came back, recognizing, thanking, and praising God. That's what the blessings journal does for you. And he began to praise God with a loud voice. And he fell prostrate. See, he came all the way back to Jesus. And he fell prostrate at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over. And for you to say, you go through your blessing journal in the morning, say, I'm done for the day. No, no, no. It's a tool as a springboard to love on the Lord all day long. And to do it before you go to bed. Amen, Brother Tim. Thanking him over and over, and he was a Samaritan. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus points this out a couple times. You'll see it again in just a couple verses. Why does Jesus point this out? I want to tell you, Jesus was excited about this man's faith. There's other instances. One was with a soldier. One was with a woman that was not a Jew. It was actually Greek, that he was amazed at their faith. And so here's three people in Scripture that he is amazed and blessed and excited about their faith. And I want to tell you, all three of them had something in common. You look at the soldier, you look at the little Greek woman, you look at the Samaritan that had leprosy. What do they have in common? This may be too simple for some theologians, but I'm going to tell you like this. They were all, I'm going to try to say it, all of them, none of them had religious qualifications. You see it? Simple, childlike faith. They had a need, and they reached to the Savior. None of them had religious qualifications. This is what he's saying when he says they were a Samaritan. He didn't have any religious qualifications. Okay? According to the religion of that day, they didn't measure up to receive anything from God. Are you with me? Hey, now, let me bring it to zero in. Are you ready? They had no religious qualifications, but listen to this. They didn't have any religious restrictions. Mm. Oh, I want to park there. I'll go there this year. So Jesus asked, we're not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Look, the only way that this Samaritan received is with a seeking, praising, thanking heart. Are you with? Do you see that? Amen, church? Amen. Okay. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You know why he asked, where are the 9? Because he had more for them to receive than they were willing to receive. Was there no one found to return and to recognize and give thanks and praise to God except this alien, this one that doesn't have any godly heritage, this one that doesn't have any word? Hey, thank God for godly heritage. I'm a part of godly heritage. My granddaddy, great-granddaddy were men of God on both sides. But here's the deal. Is that, you know what, if you're here today, and many are, and many listening, that don't have any godly heritage, doesn't limit you one bit. As a matter of fact, it's exciting. You excite heaven about being a transition generation. And your blessings will be passed down to thousands, according to the Bible, that you'll never see. Wow. And he said to them, get up and go on your way. This is this one that came back. Get up and go on your way. Your faith, your trust, and confidence that springs from your belief in God has restored you to health. Somebody said, Jesus made him whole.
Jesus made him whole.
That's right, and that's the heart of God, is to make us whole. Now, he's still working on me. He's still working on you. But I want to tell you, this is why we keep our hope on the Lord. This is why we continue to seek. This is why we continue to praise and give thanks, to have eyes to see him and to know him better and to see what he's doing, what he's up to, so we can cooperate. But I'm telling you, he's not finished with you yet, but his heart's desire is to make us whole. And so what I'm announcing to you, I'm not saying everybody agrees with me, is that this one that came back, he wasn't just healed, but he got all of his fingers back. Are you listening? Hey, he got all of his nose back. He got all of his ears back. Are you with me? He was made whole. I want to tell you, this is the story of the 10 lepers. I love this. One turned back. Here's the question the Holy Spirit is asking today. Who are you? Are you a 9 of the 9 or one of the 10? Well, Brother Tim, if Jesus did something for me, he had. Are you at his feet? Are you practicing praise and thanksgiving? Others were healed. He was made whole. After praise and thanksgiving. Can somebody see that?
Yeah.
So when we continually seek, we continually receive. You see, I'm warning the body of Christ against a sleeping pill that the enemy's giving people during this COVID virus. There's something more dangerous than the virus, and it's a sleeping pill from the enemy that he's given believers, and it's called complacency.
Tell it.
That's dangerous. Because I want to tell you something that I've noticed in visiting with pastors and with sheep during this season, and it goes something like this, is that we're taking the opportunity to lose our edge. Where's our hunger for God? Where's our thirst for God? Where's our passion and desire for God? It needs to be stronger than it's ever been. And for us to go through this season and to have this sense of discouragement and hopelessness, it's anti-Bible, it's anti-God. There's no shortage in heaven. I want to tell you, he wants to so fill and overflow our lives that this sleeping pill of complacency is not just refused, it's renounced and rebuked. And there's an awakening that the Holy Spirit's doing for those that are seeking him. Be a part of what God's doing. Don't miss it. God's up to something great. I'm telling you, it's one of the ways that we see, but when the enemy attacks, you got to understand God's already at work. When the enemy attacks, and when he attacks an area, it's because he senses and he knows God's already up to something there, and he's trying to get believers to miss it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's not in the notes. But this puts us, praise and thanksgiving, puts us in a position to see and receive more. That's what God wants. That's what you want. This blesses the Lord. So how's your personal love life relationship with the Lord? Now, when I visit with pastors, and I love pastors, okay, I give my life away. And I put my time. I love them. I bless them. I minister to them. But listen to me. Two of the most common things I hear, not just from pastors, but from the saints, but I'm saying if it can affect saints, it can affect you. And so be advised. Be alert. Be sober-minded. Be on guard. Two common questions I get are this. How you feeling? Nope, that's a minor. Let me tell you something. We don't walk by feeling. We walk by faith. So what? On what feelings are saying today. Hey, you're going to hear it this year. I'm going to do a long series on this one. And it goes like this. You have authority over your feelings. You can put the stop to wrong emotions. You don't have to let them drain you or drive you. Well, I'd like to preach on it today. How you feeling? So what? Okay, what's God doing? How's it in heaven? Because that's how it's supposed to be in our heart. How's our spiritual temperature? No matter what my body's saying, no matter what my emotions are reverberating, what's being said in heaven? The next question is, what are you doing? And I want to tell you, there's a danger in this because, and I'm going to try to say it just real, real nice because I do. But it goes something like this, is that a lot of times we don't want somebody doing more than what we're doing. Because that could show us up and make us look wrong. Am I getting too personal? All right, listen. Jesus said, be careful of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because this is what religion does. This is what law does, what religion does. It uses works to earn acceptance with God, or it uses works to earn favors from God. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. It's dangerous. A little bit of that will poison you and poison a move of God. Our doing, and there is a lot of doing in Christianity, but our doing is a byproduct of our love, not to get love. Our doing is a result of being blessed, not to get blessed. Because we are blessed and we are loved. We love them back. And we love on others. And I'm a personal testimony, and I'd love to give my personal testimony today. But when I was a teenager, I was a normal teenager ball player that loved girls. And I loved football. And I loved my friends. And I want to tell you, within a span of about 2 months, the little girl that I was in love with got sent out of the country. Okay, back to Honduras. My best friend on the ball team, my weightlifting partner, got killed on a motorcycle accident that I was supposed to be with him that night on my bike and didn't go. Okay? And during that period of time in ball, not only did I break my collarbone, I broke my right wrist in the same week. And so here I am in a span of about 6 weeks, actually, and the three most important things in my life I've lost. And I was a broken young man. Now, I'm not saying that God killed my friend. I'm not saying God sent the girl, my girlfriend, out of the country. I'm not saying God broke my wrist and broke my collarbone. I don't believe that. But let me tell you something. God's a redeemer. And he can redeem any event that comes into our life for his honor and glory if we'll let him. But the point that came to Tim Hall was the fact that I got broken and finally cried out to God. And he was waiting all the time. He never quit on me. He was waiting the whole time. But I want to tell you, he infused my life in a dramatic way with his love. I was captured by his love. And I want to tell you, I was shaken by his love. I went through some shaking and waking. And I think the reason I did go through that shaking and waking because people were praying for me. I know my granddaddy was praying for me. When I stayed with him, I heard him pray for me every night. And I want to tell you, if somebody's praying for you, just give up and come on to God. But I want to tell you something, saints. Just because you see shaking and waking taking place in somebody that you love, it doesn't mean that they're further away from God than they've ever been. It really means that they're closer to God than they've ever been. We could ask the lost son about it, and he'd tell you. But it's true. We see it over and over. But I was so captured by the love of God. It was an awakening to me. I was transformed. I've got testimonies I can tell. Some of them I don't share publicly because they're just actually too much, I have found out. But his overwhelming love set me free to be in love with him. I love pastors and saints. And you know what? You got to love people enough to ask the right questions. Everybody wants to talk about that God is so much love that there should never be any question come out of our mind that causes any kind of a disturbance. You don't know what love is. Because when Jesus was quoting the scripture that you shall love the Lord God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, he was quoting Leviticus. And in Leviticus, it explains what love means. And it means that you shall not judge your neighbor. You'll actually defend your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his house or his vehicles. And it also says that you will confront your neighbor with sin because you love them. Well, you know, that's just not being preached a whole lot. But let me announce something to you. It takes love to confront. There's a right way and a wrong way. But I want to tell you, it's right. Okay? And so sometimes we need to love each other enough to ask the right questions. The Holy Spirit does. Why do you think God asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" You know, he knew where they were. He knew what bush they were behind. Huh? There's all kind of questions through Scripture about this. He asked Paul, "What are you doing to me?" Who? Yeah. Questions stir our conscience. Okay? Hey, how about something like this? How's your love life fellowship with the Lord lately? Has he been loving on you lately? Have you been letting him? What is the Lord saying to you for 2021? Have you seen the Lord manifest his love in your life lately? What's he working on in your life right now? I don't know. Well, let me tell you, you need to know. And he wants you to know. So you can cooperate with what he's working on. Because he's always working on us. And his work is a good work. Doesn't always feel good. See, that's a misconception out there in church life that anything God does just gives me a Holy Ghost bump. No, sometimes God works on you. It don't feel good. But it is good. Because he's developing us. He loves us enough. Amen? Getting a little quiet. Let me preach a little faster. Luke 10:38. I think we got time here. Let's look at Luke 10:38. Now, while they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received him and welcomed him into her house. 39 says, and she had a sister named Mary, who seated herself with the others at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. Now, but Martha... this is 40. But Martha says this. Martha, overly occupied and too busy. Did you get that? Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him. She came up to Jesus and interrupted his teaching and said, "Lord, don't you care? Is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me to lend a hand and do her part along with me." Now, let me break this down just a little bit because I see this in church life. Okay? First of all, you've heard me mention before that, and let's just make it plain here. She was filled with anxiety over the purpose of getting the house ready for the people. She was overly occupied and too busy. Does that explain? You've heard me refer to this the last couple of weeks. 2 Timothy 2:4, a soldier does not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. Mark 4:19 is the parable of the sower. The anxieties and the cares of this world are like thorns, and they cause the word of God in your life to be fruitless. They choke the Word of God out of your life. And I'm telling you, when the Word of God comes, it's just like this message coming to you today, the enemy would love to attack you with some anxiety, with some busyness, some distraction, to steal the Word of God out of your soil before it has a chance to plant. Wow. Now, you say, well, Brother Tim, I don't talk to the Lord about that stuff. Well, you ought to. I'm telling you, you messed up. You need to tell the Lord about it. He already knows. But when you talk to him, you get it out here in the light where he can work on you. If you try to pretend it don't exist, it don't happen. Hey, you say, well, I just think it. Well, I want to tell you, your think creates an atmosphere. Yes, it does. Yeah. Sometimes I'm in meetings in some places, and I see people that are dark. And they never say anything. They never do anything, but they're dark. And you go to interview them, and they're disturbed on the inside, but they don't say nothing or do anything on that, but they're disturbed. I want to tell you, your thoughts create an atmosphere. How many of you know that you've walked into a room or to an office where someone was disturbed on the inside, and you could sense it in the air? You just know when you walk in, somebody's mad. Somebody is sad in this place. Huh? Because your thoughts create atmosphere. And let me tell you something. When you speak them, because there's power when you speak them, when you do speak those things, that power is activated in the atmosphere. Are y'all following me on that? Okay. Boy, that's real. Let me just announce this, because this is in a series coming up, and I'll get on. You feel what you feel because you think what you think. Okay, yes, I will. I'll say it again. You feel what you feel because you think what you think. You change your thought patterns, okay? Like putting them on the Word of God, you'll change your emotions. You open up your blessings journal and begin to praise and give God thanks. You can't be sad and glad in the Lord at the same time. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up at him and she said, Lord, is it nothing to you, Lord? You change her. Lord, make her, turn her wrong into right, because I'm right and she's wrong. Lord, tell them to be just like me. Tell them to be busy and distracted too. We ain't got time for the Word. We got to get this house ready. 41. That's the 10 version. But the Lord replied to her by saying, Martha, Martha, it's okay. Don't be disturbed. You just go and do what you... I will change her. I'll get her away from the Word of God and go get busy and distracted like you. No, let me tell you something. Jesus loved her. And Jesus loved her enough to tell the truth. Probably in front of everybody, because she probably interrupted his sermon to do it. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. He told her the truth. No, Jesus, that you're wrong. I'm just being a good hostess. I just want to be the hostess with the mostest here. You're wrong, Jesus. I'm right. I want everybody to be just like me. I want to tell you, you can miss Jesus when he's very available and very present. That happens. Happens in church, happens at home, happens wherever you go. There is a need of only but one of but a few things. This is what Jesus said. There is a real need of only a few things. You need to let these few things be the main thing. Because when you seek the King first, seek the kingdom first, all these other things will be added unto you. Now let me tell you a 10 version here. It's not changing the story. I'm just telling you, this is the way the kingdom operates. If she had planted her little sweet self down there at the feet of Jesus and soaked up the main thing, let Jesus and his words be the main thing, soaking up the love life of Jesus be the main thing, then when he got through teaching, the love of the Lord would have touched the group around her to jump up and many hands make the load light, and they could have got the work done in short order and done it with joy and with gladness. If you're going to serve the Lord with gladness or don't do it. I had the opportunity to tell, this was many years ago, somebody doing what Patrick and Karina doing. And you know what? They were pros. But they developed an attitude of sad and mad. And I want to tell you, I met with them, encouraged them. Encouragement didn't work. You know what you do next? You confront them. I confronted them about the sad, mad attitude. And told them that, you know what, maybe you need to take some time off to really seek the Lord. And let's allow your heart to be healed or whatever's wrong. It continued, and I said, we're done. They said, you can't do that. I said, yes, I can. I'm the senior pastor. I can do this. Okay? Because I want to tell you something. Your sad and mad attitude is poisonous to the body of Christ. And they said, well, you don't have anybody here that can do what we do. I said, well, the Lord does. But we're done. And I want to tell you something. It wasn't because of me beating the phone up, but the Lord had somebody in place next week. Does that surprise anybody? But I want to tell you something. If you're going to serve the Lord, and I'm not talking about one day having an attitude of attitude. I'm talking about a season. If this becomes a way of life to you, that attitude, it does not bring God honor and glory. It's destructive. It's poisonous. I'm not just saying in the church, part of my job is to protect the flock. But I'm saying it's that way in your home. It needs to start at home. Okay. I love you, Pastor Tim. We love Jesus together, don't we? But listen at this. Let's let the main thing be the main thing, Jesus said. Mary has chosen the main thing. And this is to her advantage, and this will be to her advantage the rest of her life and even into eternity. And you can't take your clean house to heaven. Okay. What? This is beneficial for eternity when you practice praise and thanksgiving. You think, well, nobody even knows. No, heaven knows. Malachi 3:16 says this. It talks about that those who feared the Lord talked often to one another because they talk about what they love. They were talking about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. They were talking about Jesus, and the Lord was listening. That's what Malachi 3:16 said. He's listening to what we say about him. Isn't that precious? And you know what it says? It says that an angel writes down what we say about Jesus. It's written down in what's called a book of remembrance. You see that? It's written before him. And those who loved the Lord, he writes it down. Okay? And those, look at this, who even thought on his name. And so I'm telling you, when you're practicing praise and thanksgiving, and you're in your own mind thanking the Lord and loving the Lord, an angel is writing this down. Because it ministers to the Lord and brings him honor and glory. Does that do your heart good? Does that make you want to drain the pen? Yeah. That's what we've been talking about with our blessings journal. Let's drain the pen. All right. This says I need to stop. So what if you gained the most perfect house or whatever your deal is? What if you made the highest golf score in your life? You worked all life, your whole life to get there. And lost the opportunity to bless eternity forever. And you missed it. What if you gained the highest golf score of your life and lost your own family? What do you got? That's not going to heaven. The golf score. Are you care-filled and troubled about many things? Mary chose treasure that will last forever and ever by being at his feet. Not getting distracted, but being focused. She was at his feet receiving. And so let's practice those three R's. You know what I'm talking about. Recognizing the Lord. Receiving the Lord. responding to the Lord. And we do this with praise and thanksgiving. This blesses the Lord. So let's have a great time this week and watch the atmosphere around us. Watch our eyes opened, our hearts opened to see the loving kindness of God greater than ever as we practice praise and thanksgiving with those Book of Remembrance, our blessings journal. Because as we practice, He's writing in His Book of Remembrance about you. Is that beautiful? Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. We praise and we bless the Lord. Thank you for joining us today.